This morning, I'm keeping it short what I have to say. I want to let time for prayer time at the end. And actually, I didn't really know a couple days ago if I was really how long my voice would hold up anyway. So, but I'd, you know, just been thinking over the last several weeks or months even, that everything that's going on in the world and politics, you know, blood moons, month of September and all that stuff, people's opinions and the doom and gloom and all that. But I'm just thinking about how good our God is. You know, I know how good my daddy is and I know what he has in store. But let's face it, we're in a battle, you know, we battle stuff all the time and we all battle different things at different times. So I was thinking about like, okay, what's the difference between a battle and a war? And I don't know if I have this right, Glenn, but I looked it up on the internet. You can correct me if it's wrong. but said that the wars are determined by battles and which may end up winning or losing the war. Losing many battles may result in the side losing the war. However, many times countries have lost the battle, but yet managed to win the war. The end of the war is determined by which side loses or surrenders. Well, we know for sure the war that was already done in the spiritual realm. We know who the loser is, and it's Satan. He's already lost. Jesus has already won that war. And he only has a period of time. So he's not going down like a, I don't know, silent little kitten. He's like a roaring lion trying to get his roar out there to cause chaos and fear. A battle is more of a physical combat. And battles are between two or more armed forces. And battles are usually short term. And many battles make up one war. So, you know, we're all in a constant state of battle, you know. We, in the spiritual realm, we are an army of God, and we're going to continue to oppose the army of darkness until that glorious day when Jesus comes back. I found it interesting that Merriam-Webster, one of the definitions for battle was an extended contest, struggle, or controversy. They had the word extended in there, something that is continually going on. But one thing that we do need to remember that, you know, we already have the victory of the war, and Jesus, he had sent the Holy Spirit. You know, we have that victory already on our side because we have his Spirit that lives in us. And greater is that Spirit that's in us than greater than that Spirit that's in the world shouting and just causing chaos. The verb form, one of the definitions for verb form of the word battle is to contend with full strength, vigor, skill, or resources. Well, we do have our resources, and our resources are in Christ Jesus through the Holy Ghost. He has everything that we need to fight every battle. He has given his Spirit to train us, to counsel us, to help us, to comfort us. He's given him to us, and his Spirit wants to do those things, but it's a partnership. He didn't give us his Spirit for his Spirit just to take over and do everything for us. We have to make the decisions. We have to decide, you know, okay, we're going to make these choices, or we're going to choose to renew our mind in the Word of God. We're going to choose to do this. He's there to help us and guide us and train us and change us from glory to glory, but we have to do our part. We have to work with him. You know, Satan's biggest strategy in all of this is to promote fear and negativity. That's what he wants to do. He just wants to, you know, all he has to do is a little thought has to come into our mind. And when we start to dwell on those thoughts, it starts to promote all kinds of fear and negativity. So we're in a constant battle of renewing our minds. I want to read Romans 12:2 out of this version. It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. We are told that we need to renew our mind by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? We need to get in the Word and see what God says about that. We need to change the way we think about ourselves even. We need to just remind ourselves that, okay, we're on this side of the cross, and Jesus has already completed everything that He needed to do at the cross. He said, it is finished. So it is our job just to keep renewing our mind, to know what, to read this word, to know what Jesus is like, so we can be continuously be changed from glory to glory to be more like Him. 2 Corinthians 10:5 through 6 says in the Amplified, we are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish every act of disobedience when your own obedience as a church is complete. And Amplified for Ephesians 4:23 is, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. So we must end the practice of entertaining bad thoughts. And we do this by taking responsibility for our current mindset. Now, that's, you know, and it's not something that, I mean, God can do things like this. We all know that. But this, most of the time, is an ongoing process that we have to work at. Our mind must cease to be a playground for the enemy and become a battleground of the spirit, where we can learn to come under the influence of God in our thinking. So in order to confuse the enemy and to annoy him and to really mess him up, we need to learn to move in the opposite spirit. So all negative thinking that moves us away from the experience of the Lord. So every time that we have an experience or a thought or a negative thing happen to ourselves, we have to learn to take that thought captive and move in the opposite spirit, which would be the spirit of God. So here's a couple of examples. Every time a negative thought comes, attack it in prayer. Take it captive and release the good thought at that moment. So when you have an anxious thought comes to you, turn it into a thought that expresses trust and pray it out. And it's important that we use our voices and we pray it out. And, you know, because those thoughts are coming to us in our head silently. But when we take that thought and turn it around into a positive and line it up with what the Word of God says and pray it out and speak it out, it's overtaking that negative thought and you're getting a positive reaction. Turn a lustful thought into a prayer of purity. Turn thoughts of mistrust about someone into a prayer for their blessing. Turn a poverty mindset into a song of praise about God's abundance and His willingness to supply. You know, there's nothing that can bring peace, a sense of peace, a sense of calmness, an assuredness faster than when you start to thank the Lord and worship Him joyfully and sing and praise Him. When, you know, you can be going through something, and if you just stop where you're at and, like, you know, I'm going to just thank the Lord. Just start thanking Him, you know, for the breath that you have. Just start thanking Him for everything that He's done for you. And you start worshiping and you start praising Him. You almost immediately, your mind shifts and your spirit is, like, connected with the Holy Spirit. And it changes you. Take a fearful thought into thanksgiving for the perfect love of God, which casts out fear. So if we do the opposite of what the enemy wants us to do, we can use every attack of the enemy against him. Because during those attacks, that what the enemy's trying to do for us, we take it around and turn it into something positive, it weakens him. And when we keep doing that, he is not going to bombard us anymore with those issues that we were having. Your mind can be a refuge in God. So if we receive the thought of the Holy Spirit, your mind can be a refuge in God by receiving the thought of the Holy Spirit that he wants us to have. So every time a negative thought comes, we realize the positive thought waiting to come forth. God consciousness leads to godly thoughts. And when we have godly thoughts, what does that lead to? That leads to renewing our mind. So if good thinking promotes righteousness, righteous thoughts are going to produce godly behavior. So when we start to thinking God thoughts, when we're doing God consciousness, we're going to start to produce godly behavior. There's a brain scientist, Dr. Caroline Leaf. I don't know if any of you are familiar with her, but she's been studying the brain for like 25 years or something like that. And actually, science has just, you know, recently, I don't know how long in the last many years, but got the realization that the brain can be changed. And scientists has, you know, and these are secular scientists that say that the brain was created for love. And we all know that, you know, we're created in God's image. And so the brains were created and wired for love. And every time, every time that we have a fearful thought, and you know, and fear is just not like fear from like something major, or you're watching a scary movie or something. You know, it's worry, it's dread. That's all part of fear. But every time that we have a fearful situation, 1,400 chemicals are released in our body, in our brain. And that go through our body. So every fearful situation, we have 1,400 chemicals that are released from the brain that go through the body, which causes chemical chaos. She's really interesting, and she has these neat little trees that show you. But your brain's supposed to look like this green tree, and then with all these branches coming out, and then when negativity and fear, it causes those branches to turn black. So what happens is when over a period of time, when that keeps happening, your body is starting to respond to the negativity and the chemicals that are going on, which end up resulting in sickness and mental issues and all kinds of things. But, you know, God is so good because he's the one that made us. He also made us that you can rewire your brain in just 21 days by renewing it on positive thoughts and the Word of God. And she said, and she, you know, shares about that, about how in 21 days that one of those brown or black or whatever they are branches will turn back into green. And she has testimony after testimony of people that she's worked with, people that have had brain injuries that, you know, they're more or less incapable of doing anything, that their brains have been completely rewired, and they were able to go to school and graduate, and just all kinds of stuff like that by just being positive, having love, being love. And, you know, that is God's big thing. He is love. And we are created to love and be loved. And that's where I want to focus a little bit today, because 1 John 4:8 says, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. This is in the Amplified. But perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear, because fear involves the expectation of divine punishment. So the one who is afraid of God's judgment is not perfected in love, but has grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love. The NLT reads it as, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. You know, and with so much out there of doom and gloom that's going on right now, and we have such access. because with the media, with our phones and internet and television and all that, that it's constantly bombarding us. And it's so easy to be affected by that and let that fear, and you might not even realize it, that fear to come in. But, you know, it says that perfect love. So I want each one of us today to, when before we leave here today, that we know without a shadow of a doubt how much that our Father loves us, and He is love. We were at the beach. We were sitting out on the beach one morning. Doug and I were drinking coffee, and we were just sitting there, and he says, there's 14,400 waves crash in a 24-hour period, approximately. He had just figured it out as he was watching the waves crash in. So it's 14,400 waves crashing in a 24-hour period. In 1 year, it's 5,256,000 waves. Let's say an average lifespan is 70 years. That's 367,920,000 waves crashing in. I was trying to find something that I could use to get in my mind to equate that to. So I was on the internet searching, and it said the state of Alaska is 365 million acres, so about, you know, the state. Or from Earth to Jupiter, it's 365 million miles. So when he said that, I thought about that song, You Make Me Brave, Amanda Cook sings. And there's a line in it, as your love and wave after wave crashes over me, for you are for us, you're not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in. You know, I was playing that song in my mind as I was watching those waves come in. And wave after wave, his love crashing over us. 367,920,000 in a lifespan of 70. His love is enormous. His love knows no bounds. And we get, when we can get in that place, you know, and we're all continually striving to get to that place. I'm still striving to get to that place. Get in that place where we totally just are in that perfect love, that we know and understand what that perfect love is. That when things come against us, because they will, you know, the word says there's trials and tribulations. We are going to come up with things because we live in a fallen world. We're going to have to deal with issues. But in the midst of all of that, in the midst of everything that we have to deal with, every circumstance, that we know the perfect love of the Father. I don't know. There's not even any words to express it. So when I came home, I was looking up the song, some information for that song. And I wanted to find out, you know, what was the background for Amanda writing that song? And this is what she said, that it was a song from her heart. And she said that it just came to her and she wrote it like in a matter of minutes. But it was after this period of God working through some situations in her life. But she said she struggled with fear her whole life. You name it, she's been afraid of it. So the song is a very personal statement to her, because it's not written out of a place of declaration that I'm so brave, but she wrote herself into that character, and she wrote herself into the person that she really feels called to be and wants to be. So, you know, when we have things like that, and it's just like the hymns that have been written, people going through stuff, there's anointing on those things. It's someone else's testimony that's out there for each one of us to tap into, that God can use to minister to us. But she said the water for her represented the presence of God, the expansiveness, the majesty, the wonder of who He is. The waves is of His grace, taking us deeper and further into His presence. So again, the words is, as your love and wave after wave crashes over me, for you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in. You know, when our heart is engaged with the Lord and our view of life and circumstances can rise above any situation that we're dealing with. And just in the past couple weeks, I've just been asking God, you know, in different situations, I'm saying, God, I need to see a heavenly perspective right now. I need to see in this situation, I need to see from a heavenly perspective. Because, you know, let's face it, we want to see from the natural what's going on around us. The things that are right in front of us, that's just what we want to go to. I have a something that I want us all to listen to. It's like 5 minutes long. And it's a prophetic declaration by Graham Cook. And it's called Love Encounter. And I don't know if you know who Graham Cook is or not, but he is a popular conference speaker. And he's well known for his training programs on the prophetic, spiritual warfare, and intimacy with God. And his heart is really to that each of us would encounter the heart of the Father. But this, he is just a prophetic declaration of God's love for us. So I just want us to just even sit back and close our eyes. There's nothing to see. We're just going to hear it. And just let us receive the intimacy, the intensity, the overabundance of God's love in each one of us. So just, you know, I want each one of us to receive that depth of love that, you know, he said, even if we don't even want to change, God's love doesn't change. He loves us at 100%. And I just really wanted to just get all of us grounded in that perfect love, because he said, and learn to love ourselves. Because if we can't love ourselves, how can we love God and other people? You know, we're created in God's image. We carry the Spirit of Jesus Christ within us. It's him in there. And God's love is so great. And one of the versions for 1 John 4:8, it says that there's no fear in love. I'm not exactly the verbiage, but it says, but perfect love expels fear, expels it out. And that was one of the things that Dr. Caroline Leaf had said when she was bringing the scripture. She said, God's, you know, so good. When Jesus said that, and that, you know, that verse was in there, that's literally what's going on in your brain. That perfect love, it expels fear. It literally expels that black tree branch into green life, into positive. There's many times that you know, we're going through circumstances and situations, and you know, sometimes we want to we're able to just come to the Lord and one-on-one, you know, and there's times that we're not able to do it, and we need our brothers and sisters in Christ to be there to encouraging and to lifting us up and to be with us and during those times. And I just want to give us time right now that, you know, because there are lots of issues going on with lots of different families, you know, financial, health, relationships, all kinds of things that we're dealing with. And I just want to give us time right now to just, you know, come to the Lord in prayer. If, you know, you want prayer, to someone to pray with you, I have some people that's coming up right now to that will help us pray. But if you want prayer for something in particular, you want us to pray with you, we'll pray with you. If you just want you and God, you know, if you've, You know, I've had a hard time of being of loving yourself, or and you want prayer for that, or you know, if you want prayer for whatever you want prayer for, it doesn't matter, whatever, you know, we're up here to pray with you, to agree with you. And so we just have this time of, and or if you just want to lift someone else up, you know, we just have that opportunity, have an opportunity just to present our request unto the Lord and to lift each other up. So we're going to actually just play the song, You Make Me Brave, and have a time of us in the Lord.